difference between Rabbi Baruch Kama and Rava as to whether our case, the case of Mishalim Mashanenis, the case of the Torah eating the fruit Peshus HaRabim, is that a case of Zen Nenim Zalechoser? That's how we got into this thing to begin with. We got into this thing to begin with because when Rabbi Baruch Kama missed night Seder, so then his father-in-law, we're not sure whether it was before or after he got married, whether Rav Chisda didn't break the Shidduch. Whether Rav Chisda, and Rav Chisda accepted Rami Bar Choma's equation of Mishalim Mashanenes to Zen Nenem Vizeli Choser, and Rava, Rami Bar Choma's brother-in-law, Rami Bar Choma, no, he was his, at that point they were not yet, it was after Rami Bar Choma's Nifter. Then Rabbi married the almana. So then Rabbi criticized and said, "No, it's not that Rabbi Rachom is incorrect. This is not a case of Zen and of Zaychasa, right?" So that's the nukuda we're going to focus in on. Is the case we've defined that Iboya Zen and of Zaychaser. We haven't precisely defined what the Iboya is. Zen Nenem Zelichoser, loosely put, is whether receiving Hanoah in and of itself is a Machayev. That's not entirely correct, because we're talking about receiving the Hanoah of a Schar Dira when it's not Osil Megar. So, exactly how to define that will be determined based on the examples that we're going to give to determine what was going on in the Beis HaMedrash. We're going to have to now figure out through the various examples that will be brought to be proofs or disproofs of the din. So the question is, does the Mishalim Mashanenes, is that going to be the determining raya that Zen Nene Bezele Choser is Chayiv? So Rami Rachama and Rav Chisda said yes. Mishalim Mashanenes is a case of Zen Nene Bezele Choser. And you see Mishalim Mashanenes. At first blush, why is it a good example of Zen Nene Bezele Choser? Because the Balabayas, his fruit is going to get ruined. And the Baal Hashor, the Mazik, so he gains from the fact that his animal had lunch. Machleik is exactly what he pays. Right? There are three possibilities: to pay the loss of the fruit, to pay what the Mazik gained by not having to provide lunch for his animal, or what he would pay to provide this kind of hanor for the animal, demei sarim bezol. So the halach is, there's no question he's not going to pay the hefsid which the nizik lost, because he'll be here v'steyacher. So he's potter from paying by shay. That's not on the table. Like the Torah says, he's not getting that. Mishalim mashanenes, the Tanoim say that he has to pay. Exactly what that is that we've discussed. Machlekes. Good. So now Rami Bar Choma says, oh, here, Zen Nene, the Mazik was Nene. B'Toyres Mazik is not Chayiv. B'ir V'steyacher. But Zen Nene. Yoni, can you read? You got the, you can read, is it large enough font? We're good? What's the first letter of the fourth Kishuk? Now, halacha is, so Rami Bar Choma says, no, Zen Nene, and the Baal HaPeiros is not chos, he's not missing anything. Why is that not missing anything? Because any animal who eats his fruit is potter, Betaris Mazik is potter. L'chaira, if an animal would step on the fruit, so the nizik gets nothing. Ubiya b'seyacher. So if a person, other mazik is different, but any moment a mazik who steps on these fruit pays absolutely nothing. So the Baal HaBayis is lost then. I mean, once the fruit is there, he's not expecting to get any money back. Afal pikein, if my animal decides to eat it rather than step on it, I'm going to be chayiv to pay on noah. Nu zenene, vizelei choser, the chayiv. That was the raya. It says, Rabbah, he says, how fortunate Rami Bar Chama was, because he got away with this raya. Kama dele choliv le margish gavu de mori saye. What's the yad of the Shemaya? It's bechlal not doime to the Mishnah. Haizen nene vizechoser. Haizen nene vizeloy choser. Rama says he was choser. He's losing his parents. So it's zenen of a choser. Maybe who said that an animal would step on him? Maybe he'd put the payers there. He'd come back half an hour later, they'd still be there. He didn't leave them there. He had to put them there for some reason. His cart was overladen. Fruit was falling all over the place. So he figured, let him put it on the side. So Rav says that's a zen and of zechoser. Right? Zen is not exactly the case we've discussed. Zen and of zechoser. Exactly what's the mechayiv? Is it mechayiv? Is it gezel? Is it a zechus shtamshus? So to come back to that nekuda. So the Rami Bar Chama, so how could he bring a raya? He says, no, stam perish which is a rabba of kurim afkalu. The simple reading of that line is, when I put my perish which is a rabba, I mafka them. It's a simple reading. So since I was mafka them, then end of the choser. So at first blush, Rava and Rami Bar Chama are arguing about what's the mitzias? What's the intent of a person who leaves their fruit there? So, as you know, it's very hard to say that's the machlokes. Let's take a poll. Let's go to Bishus Rabbah and find out. Stop people, take a poll and ask them, if you left your fruit here, were you mafkir or were you mafkir? So what's the machlokes? But there's a deeper question, and that is that what Tosva says, it could not be that the Baal is mafkir them. Right? Because what it didn't be, because if what is the raya that it could not be a full fledged hefker, right?
Wouldn't pay at all.
Correct. Because if it was a full fledged hefker, then there could not be a din of mishalem mashenanis. Who am I paying? I pay myself. Hefker means whoever wants can take it. So now my behemoth is eating it. So what happens now? He takes me to Beis Din and he says, yeah, you're a nene for my fruit. What do you mean, nene for your fruit? You were mafker it, and every apple that my behemoth ate, I was koina. I picked it up, I was koina. So if Mashanez, I'm going to pay myself, I'm the new Baal. So Rami Bar Chama could not mean that it's mamish hefker. Because if it was hefker, the Mishnah would not make any sense, and he could not be bringing a raya from this. Understand? He's bringing a raya. Zenene vizele choser. Is chayiv. What's a raya? Who's he chayiv to? So he couldn't mean that he's mamish mafkir. That's what Rashi says. Rashi's lashon is vilechis mide da soifon le ibud. Rashi's explanation of Mafkir is not that he was Mamish Mafkir, couldn't be. But it means Soifon Li'ibud. I haven't caused you any loss because they're not going to last of here. As long as the papers they are in a terminal state, and even this, at some point they're going to become worthless. So what's the machlokes then between Rava and Rabbi Rochama? I am the Baal. Right? Zenene. Mizele Choser. I'm the Baal of these papers. But I realize that these papers don't have much time. Right? If somebody would come and take them, so I would call him a Goslin. Right? I'd be happy if somebody takes them. Because then I may be able to salvage some value. Right? So, if somebody would trip on them, l'chayr I'd be chayiv. So what's the machlokes? Soifon li'ibud.
So is this called not chaser?
Is this called not chaser?
Like, you don't have to agree with this principle that this is called not chaser just because they're going to be destroyed. It's
so that, value. Right?
I mean, so from the Ibu, this is not the same thing as a vase falling off a roof. This is saying there's fruits there that are there. They definitely have value right now. You could sell them right now for as much as they're worth.
So, and that's the way that we've been understanding until now. We've been understanding until now there's a deris hakosav abir b'stei acher. That I am potter, and I'm asking you, why? Torah said I'm potter. What was the svar of that din? Either the svar of that din was that, like the Rosh says, that I'm not expected to do that kind of a shmira. Theoretically, I could do it. I'm not expected to watch my animals that they don't eat your fruit in the Peshus Arabim. Or that by leaving in Peshus Arabim, I'm party to the Hezek, the Sma. I can't hold you responsible. Maybe the Chiyiv Shmira shifts. Right? Who makes an event that happens in Peshus Arabim? Why are you solely responsible? Then we're also responsible. But, so that's the way Rav is interpreted. There is a Hezek, and there is a Baal, and the Torah says you're potter from paying, but if you're Nana, Zen Nana, Vizeh Choser. So Rav Rochama says, no, Zeh Loi Choser. Why? Because in their present state, if they're left alone, and if they're left there long enough, so then I don't stand to lose anything. But Basher Usham, I am losing something. So the machlekes in Rama Bar Chama and Rava L'Chaira is on how to define Choser. Right? What's considered to be a substantial loss such that Yerhan knows Machayim. Alright? So that already means that we're going to have to look at the Chiyuv over here. Apparently, the Chiyuv has to be, to use the modern word, contextualized. Alright? Let's put that on the side right now and focus on really above a Kamadik Inyan. Alright? So let's put that aside right now. Come back to try and understand the machloikis of Zen Nenu L'Choser, but come right now to the machloikis Rishonim of what exactly is the status of the peiros b'shus Rabbim. And that's why Tosfos believes in Daniel, as a Tosfos says, L'Chore, the Tosfos addresses explicitly what Rashi was addressing very cryptically. Afkuri mafkulu loy legamre, could not be efker. Dim kein afilu mashen nanis le mishalem. Or Mashenenis would pay to, wouldn't pay to this guy. It's not his anymore. Ella, what's afkui mafkilu? It means misyayish mehem. She sover, she iskalkilu machmas she rabim dorsim aleyem. Achilo yovoyu lidme mashenenis. Sounds like Rashi. What is Tosha's expressing? What's he articulating? What's the hoylech le'ibud? People are going to walk by and step on it. Ad shelo yavoyu l'dmei mashenenes. Until at least they will become reduced so that they would not even bring in mashenenes. What's he pointing out?
What's implied?
Who's that?
Like what's, you're asking what's implied?
Yeah. What's the point that this is making?
The fact that there could be a point, I don't know if that's something
there
that
was
before. There is a point where it loses the value so much that you're not going to have to pay for the hana from it.
Right. So that will be, and then that is a situation of that. That is a candidate for zen nen and mizalei choser. Right. In other words, the payers, when I put them in the street, so they were worth $300, right? But when they're on my wagon, they were worth $300. When I put them in the street, if I'd want to sell them now, I couldn't get more than $100 for them, right? If I want to sell them in 5 hours from now, so maybe $100. Right? The chance of somebody coming, the Paris is still decent, there's some that are salvageable, you have to send somebody to get them, load them up, bring them, $100, right? The hana that my animal gets is $200. So I began this morning with Paris worth $300. They're now worth $100. If an animal eats them, let's not get into the issue of whether it's Dmei Sar and Bezol or whether it's the Dmei Hanosam, Dmei Amir. Let's blur that for the moment and say it's $200. So my animal got Hano of $200. How much? And I am not, and I'm only Choser $100. So what is, so the animal is paying that which I was not Choser. Zen nener, he has a $200 hano value. Vizele choser, and I'm not choser 100 of those dollars. I'm choser 100 of those dollars, but not the other 100. And he's paying $200. So Rabbi Rachama says, no, zen nener vizele choser. So now he sounds good, Rabbi Rachama. Now Chiz is good. So what's Rava's Pshat Rava? When he says, no. Again, other way around. Rava sounds good now. Because Rava said, that's not an example of Zen Nenev is Elei Choser. That Zen Nenev is a Choser. Rabbi Mohammed says that you're right about the first $100 is then nenev is a choser, but the second $100 is then nenev is a loy choser, and I have to pay. Right? So then Rabbi Yochanan and Chizkiah sound good. They brought a good raya. The zen nenev is a loy choser was chayav. Correct? Again, do the math again. Okay, the guy dropped the Reuven brought his payrus. The wagon was overloaded, so he dropped $300 worth of payrus, put him in the street. All right, then he goes further to unload his payrus. On the way, he meets somebody, Shimon. He says, "Shimon, I have payrus sitting at the corner of Audubon and 185th, $300 worth of Paris. How much do you want for them? How much can they sell to you? He says, $3 for the papers. Then he figures out about 1/5. The chance of them still being in good condition makes a cheshbon, $100. Good. Then, before he picks them up, so Levi comes with his animal. His animal, his lunch. Right? So now Levi has a value saved of $200. What's the halacha? Levi's paying
$200.
The first 100 of those dollars, that's the hezek. Right? Let's assume that Shimon didn't buy them yet. So they still belong to Reuben. But we know that's $100 value. So the first $100 is hezek. The first $100 is, however you're going to say it, either it would be a b'steyacher, but there is a hezek, so he pays. Or you're going to say, that's the din of Mishalem HaShenenes, that's good. What about the second $100? That's what we say in Yiddish, is gefinnen geld. That's the money that wasn't there. He could only sell these pairs for $100. Now he had mazel that Levi is bringing his animals. He had mazel, the animal ate. They got on door. So now he's going to be able to get $200 from Levi. So Rabbi Barachoma says $200, 100 of those dollars is hezek. 100 of those dollars is mishalem hashenenes. Zenenev is a chosek. But the second $100 is Zenana Mizaloi Choser. And the Mishnah says, Yochayu. Right? So now, we understand perfectly Pshat in the Gemara. And the Gemara says, Hai Zenana Mizaloi Choser. Vai Zenana Mizaloi Choser. So Rava says, not a good raya, right? And those who completed the sugya b'kiyas already know it's going to be a perfect answer, because once there is some amount to pay, so we're going to charge the full andor. So that has to be a perfect answer. But we'll come back to that. Pashas right now, Rav is saying, Zen nenem ezechos. V'rami Rami says, why is it Zen Nenev Zeloi Choser? So at first blush, he gets like, he's mafki, not choser anything. That couldn't be what he means. That wouldn't make any sense. He's saying, no, he was, if Gori mafki means he expects that there's going to be a yerida in the value. He knows that the value of the payers is going to be much less than the noz that he's getting. Of Gori mafki is miyayish from full value. Haylech li'ibud. Not real hefka. He's miyayish from full value. And he's miyayish even from, he's miyayish of $200 worth of their value. And the Mishnah says, he's going to get 200 of the 300. So there's $100 value that I'm not choser. I could not get $100 of the value if I sold it. Now I can bring this guy to Bezin and say, oh, he was Nana. So you see from here, he said Nana, it's like Chos, it's Chayim. No good?
How did we read Tosfos like that?
Well, I had the help of the other Tosfos in, but Tosfos says, Elo miyayish mi moshe sovish yiskalklu l'mach moshe rabin doysim alei. Then Taisa says, "Ad shelo yavol l'dmei mashenenes," and it's not going to come up to the value of mashenenes, right? So machma shirabim dorsim aleihem. So what's he adding? Ad shelo yavol. Right now, the truth is, I don't think I could have read it if not for who's the sheep. The Rashba spells it out. Yadua shiragli harabim mitzuyim ledros bem lachziram afilu lepochis midimei anosim, and to put them into a state where they will be less than Dmei Anasa. But it's even clearer in the Shita. Kosu batoisves leili gamre dimkein atchilo yovo levim ashenenes vim yinoidlum zarkun leibod haya mishalem kefi shavyam lefi manis yoish mehem vim ochlosen behema mishalem shenenes umashem mishalem yoiser. If in other words, if I would come and say, I don't like clutter of Rosh Hashanah Rabbah, right? I want to park my car. So I take the payers and I throw them out. So I can move my car in. I took his payers and destroyed his payers. How much do I pay for the destroyed payers? Nope.
Nothing.
No, why nothing? It's the Odom Amazik. Not sure Amazik. No, how much do I pay? There's no beer b'stei achar of a mazik. So I clear these fruit. How much do I pay? Huh? He had peiros b'shus haravim. $300 peiros down to 100 and hanov 200. Now I destroy these peiros. How much? And now he takes me to Beis Din. He destroyed my peiros. So he said, I hire one toy and he says, peiros b'shus haravim. Beis Din says, go back to Italian school. This is not a mamas. Not sure I'm asking. No. So how much do I pay?
No,
you
could be
paying
zero because...
How much do I pay? What's the loss?
Netzik
Sholem. Huh? Netzik Sholem. Well, how much... Netzik Sholem. How much are they worth now?
If they're both on the Ebo, they could be considered to be worth nothing.
But he was going to sell them for 100. How much you can sell
it for? Shimon will buy them for 100. That's right. That's a nezek shalom. No, I'm not saying stam shimon. I'm saying not a specific shimon. Any shimon for $300, right? Right. Any shimon is going to pay. Just pick the name. Any shimon is going to pay $100 for them, right? So if I would be ma'abed them, I have to pay mechdei shavyam. However, in machlosan beima mishal mashenenis. V'haynu mashem sham yoyse mechdei shaviyam. Haynu ze nene v'ze lo yichoser. That's how the Rosh spells out the pshat in the Tosfos. Daniel, be very patient. Go ahead.
I was just wondering if the last week you mentioned how this is linked to the beginning of the sugya of ze lo nene v'ze choser.
Go ahead.
And I was wondering if just the lashon the Rebbe was using seemed to imply an idea of opportunity cost also. I was wondering.
No, no, so spell it out. In other words, the different ways of...
So if you hear, we look at the case and we say that if it's really Zen and it's a low chaser, but if the pairs are with Ebud, then they could have cost something. We're digging into the potential of what could have been.
Rabbi Merucham is pointing out, right? Rabbi Merucham is pointing out that it's... that on this, on the differential... Right, there's a differential of $100, which could be the May Sarim Bezal. Uh-huh. I don't get involved in that machlekes of the May Sarim Bezal, the May Amir. I'm assuming right now that either one will be more than it's Halach Leibud. But you're correct that we are building on that sugya. Yeah. Good. So who has to be explained now? I'm assuming Rashi is the same as Tosfos.
Oh, yeah.
I'm assuming that the lashon of Rashi, v'loy chiser minei da soifon
le'ibud. Yeah, Rashi's not saying that it's worth nothing because it's going to be destroyed.
Say it's worth nothing altogether. V'loy chiser minei da soifon le'ibud. I'll get destroyed.
Yeah, the owner doesn't lose anything because his stuff is basically worth nothing because it's
going to
be destroyed.
But I'm still paying because of my shenanigans.
Yeah.
All right, but so there's Lamasa, there's very little difference between Tosfos and Rashi. Question is, right? I'm still paying for.
Totally different understanding of Gemara.
I'm sorry?
Totally different understanding of Gemara. Rashi is like a much bigger chiddush.
Why is Rashi? Rashi is a, why is he being a chiddush?
Rashi is saying it's still considered. I mean, the Mitzvah is like typical for Rashi that it could be considered worth nothing just because it's going to be destroyed later.
Well, it's very conceivable that no one would purchase them. Lechisa mide. Then he hasn't. Tosayf on the ibur. And according to Rava, since they're not chaser right now, I'm not sure. Okay. Dikdek Rabbeinu Moshe Amaylei Ka'omar D'mafkul L'gamre D'af Alpi She'enei Choser Klum Ro'oi L'chayvoi L'man D'omar Zenendem Z'enei Choser Chayv Mire D'havi Achoser D'loi Kaim L'agva D'enei Choser Klum V'chiyer L'didei. Vitirates. Right, so now we're raising the question of why we did not learn, why doesn't Tosfos learn Pshat the way that Eli is learning Pshat in Rashi? Right, that's what Tosfos, that's what we're asking right now. Why did Tosfos learn Afkuri Mafkir in what is the more complicated way? $300, $100, $200. Why didn't he learn Kipshutai? Like Eli learns Pshat and Rashi. What's Kipshutai? Afkuri Mafkir. He's not Mamish Mafkir. That can't be. But he doesn't expect to recoup anything at all. Right? And then Rami Barachama would be saying, look, you're paying Mishalim Mashanenis, even though they are valueless. Why didn't the Tosfos say, look, Afkuri Mafkir, once Tosha said that it doesn't mean Yish, real Yish, it means that they're not of significant value, so why did he just simply say that Shimon will pay nothing for them? That if Reuven tries to sell Shimon, they'll pay nothing. And when Levi's animal eats it, he's getting $200 worth of Noah. Why was it significant? Why was it important for Tosfos to give it some value and make it sellable? No? Any suggestions? No, Yaakov?
If it didn't have value, how would it be?
No, go ahead.
I
don't know. What are you going to say? What are you really saying?
I'm not sure. I think what I was going to say was
what you want to say is there a bialus without value? Right? The Nimitziah. Right? So you said it in an interesting way. There could be something b'shus around, but and that's one. That's really the way the Nachlas David says it. Nachlas David says what you had in mind. That it's a person who is ma'abed his property. What's the din? Is there a din of a shavas haveid if I'm ma'abed my own property? I put my fruit b'shus harabim. Now you chayim to come and do hashavas haveid on my fruit. Right? We're getting a little bit ahead of ourselves. So the Rishita quotes. Amaylei ko'omar. Why did Tosfos go for this convoluted pshat? Why not take the simple way out? Right, the way that if you learn pshat and Rashi. V'tirates to hosam dinu the chayiv, the osu, and the Tosfos, the Shita says, and if we would have learned this pshat, then it would have been a perfect fit. Zen and mezele choser. I'm not renting out this room bichlal. It has no value associated with it. You're living inside of it. I lose absolutely nothing. Same thing. My peiros, Shimon will not pay a cent for them. Reuben eats them. Okay, now he's able to pay for something for them. So Rabbi Yochanan is a perfect fit. So why did Tosfos say this unusual pshat? Aval bishen nechoser klum roi lechayvoi lemandom izenenem izenechoser chayev v'nidahavi achoser v'lekayim liagra. Then a chosik l'machayv l'didei. But here it's t'hosim dinu. T'chayim t'osu l'achem sh'dor boi ki ilu hoyo boi do v'tchil chadchila. Bal korcho isho bal abayis. V'chi heichid l'chadchila yochel l'moni milo dor boi hochanami b'di ebed malo ischar. Aval hocha yim afgul l'gamre yim kein afil l'chadchila kol amazlik bahem zocho bahem. Tosfos, they say, is explaining that in our sugya, zenenem is a lechoser. So why is it lechoser? Because I don't rent it out. There's no question I'm the balabayas. There's no question I could rent it out. There's no question that there's value there. But I made a decision. And that's maybe the minhag hadina that we do not try to monetize this value. Right? My living room is value, but I don't monetize it. The only time I monetize it is b'mechiras chometz. When at least if I go away for Pesach and I lease it out to a goy. And the question is it really a value? Does the lease make sense? Is it a binding lease? Does it really work all opinion? So we convinced Mr. Brown that there is value to this lease. That if he wants, he can come in, he can enjoy my living room, he can enjoy one of probably 3,000-4,000 living rooms that we're leasing out to him. So yeah, we convinced him that we do not want him to bring in some family and rent it out. It probably wouldn't be excited about that. So that's, but otherwise, there you can monetize the ability to rent out your house, right? There is value there. The question is, I never take use of this value. I never try to actualize this value, right? I never monetize the value. Now somebody comes and he says, oh, since you never take use of this schus, so I'm not going to pay for it. So Tosfos apparently was concerned that if we say that the fruit has absolutely no value, that means then it is not comparable to zen nen v'zalechosa. Because if it has no value, if it really has no value, bechlal, right? That's why Efilim Shah, Elilim Shah in the Tosfos, in the Rashi, the Soifa, Libut, Im Kain, Afilu Lechadchila, Kol Machzuk Behem, Zocha Behem. Right? If I leave something b'shus harabim, and you come and you pick it up, and it's valueless now. Is there a din of Hashem's Haveda? I'm not talking about the sentimental value, I'm willing to pay something for it. No, it's an apple like any other apple. So it has no value. So if something has no value, so Rabbi Rahama says, I was mafkir it, but I was mafkir something that has no value. If that's the case, maybe that is hefker. So that's why Tosfos wanted to make sure that there is some value left. V'oid heksham, my Rami Rachama Rami Misnisen Zen Nevezel Enechos Chayev Filman Domer Potter Pikai Gabna Moide the Chayev came the Chosik Tzas Mishalem Kol Ma She Nene. Avu Bishu Tvei. So he said, now we're going to have another kasha. which we're not ready for. Because the end of the sugya, we're going to paskin zenden of lechoser. If there is some chisorin, then you pay mashenden. So we're going to have to come back to this shakal v'tariyeh, because it sounds like that both Rava and Rami Racham would agree in that. But that's what we have to come back to this nakuda. But the point that he's saying is that afal gav the ilu lehaya chaser dafkrinu legamre lehaya mishalim. Shani hacha, shani hasam, the leka time lechayuve, came la fila chadchila, a machzik mem zacha, mekin pirashin leel. So if they would have absolutely no value, then what's to stop anybody from taking them? Abul hecho de leyaf kirino le gamre, de ika svara lechayva lechola poches kedeches roinon. So then it's very, very similar to Heichadar B'l'Chadchila. Now it's conceivable Ulumanda Omar Potter if you look at this virlay. It could be stamp papers of Kuri Mafkalu. How do we explain Rava? So one possibility the Rosh says is Rava holds that Perish Bershusar Ravim, I'm not Mafkir Bechlal. I do expect to be able to come back and get Perish of similar value. Right? So the Rishonim do one possibility of what is going on in the mind of the person who drops his Perish there. Rava holds that he's not dropped his bialus bechlal, and Rav Chama says no, he has. All right. So therefore, Rava says this is not a good example, and Rav Chama says that it is a perfect example. So then it seems to be machlokes in Metzias. How do we evaluate what people had in mind when they were mafkir? But the first approach lechora is. The first approach is, are they comparable? The Rosh says, because is the loss that the animal imposed on the nizik, is that significant enough to be mechayev for the hana? Right, hezra davar zen nene bezeloi choser is a situation where the chisaron that I imposed is not substantial. Zen nen de vize choser. Chayiv, correct? Ze loy nen de vize choser, unless it's groma, I'm chayiv. Right? And if it's groma, why am I chayiv? So we have, the Rishonim said, because I was nene. What if zen nene v'zeloi chaser, if I am potter, it's because I didn't impose a significant enough hefsed on you. Right? So the machlokes between Rava and Rami Bar Chama will be, is this considered to be a significant chaser? Right? Again, let's just take two steps back. The Gemara, we want to know, we began by saying, we're in this, into this sugya because of Mishali Mashanenis. Gemara says, Mishali Mashanenis, historically, was brought as a point of discussion between Rami Bar Chama, Rav Chisda, and Rava. Our Mishnah came under scrutiny. Is our Mishnah a raya for the question of Zen, Nen, and Zaychos? And they wanted to know whether a person could slip down in between innings to better seats. Right? Well, they wanted to know if they could move down in the bleachers and get closer to the Rebbe without paying for it. Right? So the raya they brought was Mishali Mashananis. Of course he can't do it. That's machlokes, right? So that was the... So now, before we get knee-deep into the sugya, Zen, Nen, and Vizal Choser, so we have to figure out, it's connected to our sugya via Mishalim Hashananis. Is that a good connection or not a good connection? Is our Mishnah Raya Machras and not a Raya Machras? That's the Nukudah. That's the Eishir. So Rami Bar Choma said, our sugya is a deciding factor. I don't need the rest of the sugya. We're done. Right? I'm not coming back tonight to Eitan either. Because you guys can slug it out with Makif and Nikif, and I'm done. Right? And Rav Chisda and Rava were saying, and Rav Chisda and Makabel. And Rava was saying, nothing doing. He haven't solved the problem, Bechlal. Good. What are they arguing about? Right? How is it possible that this should resolve our sugya? Rava says it's a different sugya. Zenene v'zachose. Rav Chama says, no. It's zenene v'zachose. Two pshat. Taisus is pshat. Zenene is much more than zechose. So there is a differential for which he was not chose. There's a differential that he cannot recoup unless he's lucky enough that an animal eats it. A dugma. An example of this is, just a conceptual example, is the guy who has a below value car. And he has the mazel that he's parked and somebody runs into his car. Now insurance is going to pay book value, right? So it's his mazel. It wasn't driving, doesn't have to call, get the car towed, b'chlal. It's a matonim in Hashemayim. He couldn't afford a new car. Somebody rams into his car. Insurance pays for it. Insurance will come and inspect it, pick it up. Mamish, a matona. So these fruit were below value fruit. Now he's lucky. Somebody comes and eats them. So now he's going to get money for it. Zenene, v'zelechoser. So we have to understand, and what does Rava say about this? It's like a good raya. Rava says, no, it's zenene, v'zelechoser. That's good for the first $100, but not the second $100. So what is the machleit in Rava? Why did Rava reject this? So for good raya. So it's the teretz. Why did Rava reject it?
Can you be cholik on not paying 200 in that case?
Why? That's our Mishnah.
But if the guy doesn't own it anymore, like if he's miyayish on $200 worth,
you
can't get enough
for
the whole thing.
No, but one suggestion is that Rava holds that he's not miyayish bechlal. He knows what can happen over here. He knows that my fruit is of value to different people in different ways. And in a chanami, Shimon will only pay $100 for it, but it could be that Yisachar will pay $200. I'm not mafkir b'chlal. All right. So that again could be machleikas and mitzias. What are the expectations of it? What are the probabilities of a person? What are the probabilities of how does that play into a person's mind? So in other words, but if we say this mahalach, that means that the emes is that the machlokes is what whether the person is mafkirit at all, whether there really is a chaser over here. It's true that according to Rami Bar Choma's understanding of the Metzias, it's a good raya. Machlokes in the Metzias. Okay, there.
According to Rabbi, why doesn't Rabbi just say that we don't care about what we benefited versus how much a thing costs? Right? We don't care about that 200 minus the $100.
What do we don't care about it?
That we say he doesn't view Masha Hennis minus what it costs. He just cares about that the Baal loses out on something, that if there's $100 loss, there's $100 loss. He doesn't say we don't care about if he benefited 200 versus the thing was actually worth 100. He said that the thing was worth 100, the animal came and ate it, so therefore the owner clearly lost out on that 100, so there is a chisar.
So that is the alternative.
Yeah.
Right? The first answer is that they're arguing about is this loss is significant enough that it's considered to be a zeh nene v'zeh choser. And according to Rami Bar Choma, it's still a zeh nene v'zeh choser. The $100 loss, right, Rava would say, it's not comparable to our case. Our case, there's bechlal, no loss at all. In our case, where I never rent out my living room, there's bechlal, no loss. That's when we're discussing zeh nene v'choser. You can't bring me a raya from a situation where there is some loss to the different kind, and you end up paying more than the loss that you impose. That's a different din. The din we're talking about is no loss bechlal. So again, the question on the table is our sugya raya for zeh nene v'choser? So Rami Bar Choma says, it is a gavaldig raya. I'm done with the sugya. We paskin zen nene v'zeh lechoser chayiv. Right? There are two ways to learn Pshat Rami Bar Choma. One way is Tosfos, the other way is that the fruit became totally unsellable, non-marketable, and nevertheless zen nene v'zeh lechoser chayiv. Okay? Rava holds that our sugya is not a good raya for the Mishnah, either because he's not mafgrid bachlal, right? Or because since there is some value, even if it's $100 value, but it's still not loichoser of our sugya. Our sugya is where there's no value bachlal. The Mishnah is there is some value. So we're having you pay a higher value.
We're not talking about that value. We're talking about the next 100.
It's FLPK.
What is it? So why?
Hold on. Right? We'll come back to it. Right? But just first to identify the chiluk. Right? There is a distinction. In other words, the machlokes Rava and Rami Bar Choma is this distinction significant or not? Now, the answer to your question is that our maskana is going to be that when there is some loss, then one has to pay for the full hando. So in other words, whether you're mechuyev to pay for hando depends on the context of the hando. And you could end up paying more hando in the context where there was some chisar. So the significance will be of great difference when we get to the end of the sugya. And Lamasa, our Mishnah, according to Rava, is going to be very important to the maskon of the sugya. But Rav is not holding there yet. Rav says, I still want to figure out what's the din of zeh nenev zeh lo yichoser bichlal. Zeh nenev is a choser mashu. Okay? But zeh nenev zeh choser bichlal. Let's put it in the following term just to finish up so you don't sleep tonight. But by zeh nenev zeh choser bichlal, so I am benefiting from something over which one could argue you have no bialis. You could argue I have bialis as my house. At the house, but you've never monetized the right to rent. So you, what you have done is you have not fully realized this aspect of your bialis. So when I move into your house, you could stop me from coming in because that's part of your bialis. But once I'm in, you can't charge me for something over which you've never exercised violence. I'm putting today's year in the context of yesterday's year. You can stop me from coming in because you can say one of the requirements of violence is that I have a certain amount of privacy. I don't have to explain myself. I don't have to do Truman Kipper. I have the right to control the traffic of my house. Can't come in. You come into my house, I have the right to ask you to leave. Because I have a right to determine traffic. Do I have the right to charge you for trespass in my house? I've never charged anybody an entrance fee. I've never asked for an entrance fee. I never charged anybody for staying in my house. So I've never exercised this bialis b'chlal. So can I also wake up one morning and say, oh, now, without discussing it with you, without asking initially? That's Pshalach Choser. On the other hand, these papers, Rava would say, you're a total baal over these papers. You're a total baal over these papers. Number one, you weren't leaving after them. Or because you could sell them for $100. You will sell them. I will sell your papers. So now, you can't sell them in the market. You want to sell them to Shimon? You've always exercised this form of violence over. So now I come and I eat your papers. So you'll charge me whatever. If you'd be taking them off to sell, they have one value. You feed your papers on the spot, a different value. So why shouldn't I charge you for it? So if you put in terms of, if Zen, so what we're pointing out right now is that what the sugya that we're looking at is specifically the sugya of using somebody's house. So we already pointed out you could look at it as chusestamshus, you could look at it as property value, property rights. It'll very much depend on what Rav Chisda and Rava, what rayas they think are good rayas and not good rayas, to figure out exactly how broad the sugya is. But right now, the question on the table is our Mishnah a raya or not a good raya? Machlekes Rabbi Rachama and Rava. Rabbi Rachama says, our Mishnah mikan lomdim zeh nene mizeh loichoser chayiv. And Rava says, you can't bring a raya from this case to what I want to figure out. The case of the guy who squats in my living room. Can I charge him? Exactly why you can't bring a raya? So the easy way out is to say, well, he was not mafkir in our case. There he was mafkir. So Rava says it's not the same din. Maybe in that case, they're my fruit. I wasn't mafkir my fruit. I always sell my fruit. In this case, I never charge for this hana, right? Or you could say, in that case, the payer is there's no question that I have some bailus over here, and I do exercise my bailus. I don't have the bailus of $200. I have $100 bailus. So if I have $100 bailus, I also have $200 if you come and you have to be nanifam. But not a rai over here. Okay, going weiter, we will have to, however we explain zeinan lechaser, we're going to have to explain why Rava holds that our mission had a good rai. Right? Another, for example, it's going to be very hard, for example, we could go on to discuss that Rava saying that we're discussing Schus Ishtamshus, so I can't bring a Raya from Achilas Peiros. Right? Be hard to say that. Be hard to say that we're just looking at the question of whether one pays for Hanor from somebody else. Because then, how could Rava dismiss our mission as being a Raya? All right. So, however we explain the sugya, we have to come back and say, make sure that being explained by Rava would say the Mishnah a good rai, but that's what we're holding right now. Machlokes Rav and Rachama, is the Mishnah rai or not? Tub Shatim, Tosfos, and let's say the Tosfos and Rashi, Tosfos and the Rambam and the Shita, two different Shatim, and we understand why Rami and Rachama would say we have a locked up a rai if it's zen nene, v'zet lo yichoser chayev. And we have to explain why Rava holds not so, and the different Mishatim and Rava. Okay?